but different moments, yes. But is there a connection? I mean, is it because if wrong view is eradicated, there is no jealousy. Basis for jealousy? Is that how is jealousy dependent on
wrong
view?
If you have right understanding, the perfect right understanding about realities, mm-hmm. who else would you like to jealous? No one.
I see.
Everything is conditioned.
I see.
Arising and falling away.
And in our understanding of worldly things, we think it's different, envy and jealousy. But in Dhamma, isn't that similar? Isn't it?
That's why we should use Pali term.
Mm-hmm.
Machariya and itsa.
So machariya is also that we're
stinginess.
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 Someone has a nice car and
you can appreciate.
Yeah, but if you don't appreciate, which we all know appreciating is kusala, but if instead of appreciating you think, oh, I wish I had it, would that be issa?
I don't think that, I don't know, people have different accumulation. They can be conditioned for thinking like that, but not as sotapanna. Because at the sotapanna knows well about the conditions of each moment. Mm.
But like a sotapanna will still wish people good worldly conditions, hope someone will be healthy or have pleasant experiences, or still wishes metta for others. So there's still
kusala.
Even though there's no wrong view, they're still thinking of others and wishing well
kusala.
For others. Kusala. Why not, if there's thinking well for others, why not aversion also, because aversion hasn't been eradicated?
Okay, there is aversion, but no machriya and no isa.
Can we just say not, because the more native, the stronger...
That level of panya eradicates
the stronger attachment and aversion.
But then that the metta that can lead to jhana, one who has accumulated a lot of wise thinking about metta,
or have metta a lot in the day.
People say there has to be both, because it has to be one who has
At the moment of metta arising, do you have to think about?
No. So someone could naturally have a lot of metta in a day, but it may not be developed as an object of samatha or...
Other thing instead of metta.
May just be the accumulation, but there may not be any samatha development.
Whenever metta arises, it's calm, not enough, and metta arises again, not enough, and then metta arises again, not enough, until it becomes one's nature.
Right.
And then the kusala can appear as being calm.
Oh, right. So it's the foundation is the development of metta, but the kusala has to appear for the development of samatha.
Mm-hmm. Because you see that we usually think about many people in a day, but what kind of citta is thinking? Attachment, or metta, or karuna?
So it's only by the development that the understanding has to be so clear to really understand its
the citta at that moment.
The citta,
yeah.
For it to be the object of.
Mm-hmm.
The development of samatha.
Otherwise, it's not the development of kusala.
Right. Well, if it's just metta arising, it's the development of kusala, but not development of samatha, can we say?
Because just some moments only.
Right. Okay. Metta naturally arising.
Okay.
And also because when it is object of samatha, there has to be understanding, but when just metta arises in a day, no understanding at all.
Because you see, if metta cannot arise more in a day, can there be more moments of metta as one is thinking that I'm practicing metta?
So what are the conditions, different conditions for metta?
Kusala citta. Having people or person as its object.
What else?
Concerning with people. So one sees and one hears and one. If there is no metta, what's the use or what can it be to develop metta without having metta towards the other people in the day?
Satipatthana can be a foundation for metta.
Or kusala.
There's a lot of, I would say, low level dosa. And I think that.
Towards people?
Conditioned by people.
What about dust and...
Yeah, a lot of aversion.
You think about the one who clean it or what? Like good food, and when the food is not good, you have dosa? Do you think that that is not metta towards someone or just dosa by having such taste? We can that we have dosa.
Yeah.
Yeah. But not to anyone or towards anyone.
I see. Those are conditioned by, but not towards a person. Yeah. People are object of one's jitta throughout the day. I mean, if you're walking in the street, for example, and passing people.
Can there be no metta, friendly?
Oh, there can be, yeah. Yeah. But
develop it.
Right. Well,
instead of dosa. Because you just talk about dosa and people in the street.
Yeah. Well, you can think of having metta instead of having dosa, but I don't suppose that's...
I don't think that we should think of having it, but have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think there's an awful lot of comparing also, as you know, as one sort of almost subconscious, I would say, but... very, very obvious ones.
What arises more, dosa and lobha?
Well, I think that at different levels, I mean, there can be attachment to some aspects.
In a day.
Yeah, in a day, what arises more?
Yeah.
Attachment would arise more, I would guess.
In many days.
Yeah.
So what arises more?
Attachment arises more.
Otherwise, one is walking dosa. But when one is not,
I think one is walking lobha, walking dosa.
Then lobha arises more if there is no dosa much in the day.
I suppose, you know, the dosa is more noticeable in the sense that, as we've said before,
we don't like it.
No one wants dosa. Everyone wants more lobha.
Back to metta, I'm interested in the connection between metta, sila, paying respect to those who deserve it, rendering service, and then a quote from you, respectful by abstaining from hurting or harming others. Can you say a bit more about the aspect of metta, of
to be
paying
friendly.
Respect?
To be friendly.
To be friendly. So,
if one is friendly, one cannot hurt the others.
One can't hurt the others. And can one say if one's friendly, one can pay respect easily, or one can appreciate the good qualities easily?
Because one would like the others to be pleasant, happy.
Right. So paying respect doesn't have to be just to those who explain Dharma, to any good qualities, or...
It depends on citta at that moment. If you'd like the other to be happy, then you can do anything.
Right, then you can pay respect. Mm-hmm. And in what way is this an aspect of sila? Is it an aspect of sila at all, paying respect?
Because it's not level of jhana and samatha, so it has to be sila.
Sila. So if whenever it is kusala, which is not level of samatha, then it must be sila, is that right? So, for example, when we were talking about metta arising, which is not level of samatha, so it's sila.
When you do something, but when you do not do anything at all, then it is samatha, because citta at that moment is kusala, even temporarily.
Right. When you don't do anything at all. When you do something, it's see that?
Through body and speech.
Right, okay. But when you don't do anything, if it's kusala, no understanding, for example, there may be a moment of metta, even though nothing is said or done, and there may not be understanding, so then it's a moment of sila.
Can we say that all kusala is samatha? Because there is no lobha, no dosa, no moha.
Right,
at all.
And there is calmness at that moment. So
in that sense.
In that sense.
It's not the level of jhana or upajara.
Okay. We can say all kusala is samatha, but not necessarily samatha development.
Right.
Because if there's no understanding, there is
no development.
Can one say all kusala is, or that, can one say that sila includes all kusala?
Right.
In a broad sense.
Yeah. Because it is kusala at that moment.
So it's sila.
It's calm.
It's calm. But sila can be, we can say it's all sila.
The beginning of all kusala.
So in that sense, what is the difference between sila and samatha in that general sense? Because if we say all kusala is samatha or all kusala is sila.
Because at that moment there cannot be bad deeds because of kusala citta at that moment. No killing, no stealing, no wrong speech.
Right. So it's all kusala is sila in the sense that there cannot be bad deeds, and all kusala is samatha in the sense that it is calm or free from a kusala at that moment.
Yeah.
So different meaning.
But it's not the development of samatha.
Is there a development of sila? I mean, if there's no understanding, there's neither the development of samatha or sila.
Right.
What's the difference between dana and jhaka?
Dana is giving things for the other's benefit. And at that moment, when it's jhaka, it means that it's the elimination of stinginess. And jhaka can be other things, not just material or objects. For example, if you do something for the other's benefit, you don't give anything away for him, but you do something for them by sacrificing your selfishness.
So can we say that when there is panya at the moment of dana, there's jhaka?
Not necessary to say like that, because at moment of giving, one knows the motive of giving by oneself.
So dana relate to material.
For example, someone might give just for the sake of wanting to be reborn in heaven.
What about forgiveness as an aspect of dana, or would it come under jhaka?
It can be both, or it depends on that very moment whether you just forgive, or you know that you really forgive.
Okay, you mean whether you just act forgive, or whether you really in your heart forgive at that moment. And at the holy places, when you ask forgiveness,
any action, any speech,
any action.
Who knows, in this life, other lives, just another kind of paying respect.
Okay. Can you say a little bit more about it? In what way is it a
even
way
just light manners, which doesn't show respect?
What do you mean?
Sometimes, who knows, except oneself.
Okay, so nothing to do with the action. That's
not the right, but the really wanting to show respect in that way. If there is any fault or any shameful manners or whatever things that is not good.
Because usually when we think about forgiveness, it's like wanting the other to be free of a kusala, or thinking of the others as like a kind of metta or wishing others well. But in this sense, it's like wisely reflecting on one's kusala.
Mm-hmm.
Kusala jita, so it's more reflecting on the danger of a kusala, something like
if
that.
If you did something wrong and you'd like to ask for forgiveness, even that person is not there, but you feel like you would like to ask for forgiveness.
Can one say it's like an aspect of hiri and otapa, seeing the shame of the kusala at that moment, or reflecting on the shame?
And should we not pay respect to him if we have done something we don't know whether it's not good?
You mean to him, you mean the Buddha,
the Buddha.
Or
the three gems?
Gem.
Yeah.
So when it is at a holy site, mm-hmm. it's also an aspect of respect to the Buddha.
And usually we ask for forgiveness too, another kind aspect of showing respect.
But how can we ask forgiveness? Because
it's
no
just
one to
no.
Give.
It's just the translation
right,
of the way
the
we or the
what
way
is,
we use to speak.
The,
but actually, it's the paying respect.
The reflecting on the akusala or paying respect. Mm-hmm. What is the? Is this jaga or what is it? What do you use?
Do we have to classify at that moment?
Well, you say it's the translation, so I'm interested. What is the translation for?
Good. Kusala citta,
okay.
Through speech and deeds, sila.
So actually it's just really paying respect. Because when it's translated into English, it sounds a little unusual.
Yeah. So it depends on the citta at that very moment.
If we reflect on our akusala, usually it's with akusala, because it's, you know, when we reflect on our akusala, it's sort of wanting to have more kusala, or wishing there wasn't the kusala, or something like this.
But you know that sometimes, even you know that you have done something wrong, you're not brave or courageous enough to say, to admit.
It's held back because of mana.
Right.
Yeah. Go through, you should do this, you should do that in the Pali, and in the end, if you can't get rid of the dosa, you should clench your teeth, this one that everyone quotes. So it's when thinking with aversion, you should pay attention to their merits. When thinking of dosa, you should have metta, should. Well, usually we say, oh, okay, there are no shoulds, it's whatever arise, develop understanding. But I think it's meant just in the way, like you said, oh, just have metta. So it doesn't mean anyone can do anything or make anything happen, but just understand the cheetahs and the realities at that time.
Each has one's own way.
Right. Each has one's own way. Right. So does it mean whatever is one's own way, develop
mm-hmm.
sati?
Yeah.
So if one's own way is
not clenching teeth?
Not clenching teeth.
Don't clench.
while it's one's own way, develop sati at that time.
Always. Okay. One's own way.
So why does it say should?
Follow one's own way.
Follow one's own way.
For one's own way. If you happen to be that way, who knows?
Right, but in this case, also the Buddha was talking to a bhikkhu who's ordained. So
and who follows his own way, only one's own way.
Is it of any significance that it's addressed to bhikkhus, or could it just as easily be addressed to
I think that
bhikkhus?
He taught everything to
everyone.
Yeah.
I think so, not special.
It just happened that the bhikkhus were around at that
time. Actually, I was also thinking that it might be related to the daily practice of jhana and all that.